Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course with your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit. Today's Soulmate Seminar is with Michael Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith on the topic, Spiritual Partnership, How to Attract Your Divine Other and Experience a Connection Deeper Than Any You've Had Before. Michael Beckwith is a world leader and teacher in the New Thought Ancient Wisdom tradition of spirituality. He is the founder of the Agape International Spiritual Center, co-founder of the Association for Global New Thought, and the Season for Nonviolence, which are extensions of his vision of one human family, united on a foundation of peace based on the spiritual origin of every man, woman, and child. Ricky Byers Beckwith, a prolific composer, singer, performer, and music director, is widely known as an intuitive channel of healing music. Ricky's unique talents have brought her acclaim as a pioneer in spiritual music and have earned her an honorary doctorate of music and numerous awards.
So welcome, Michael and Ricky, to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit.
Thank you.
Oh, our joy to be here with you.
So you have such an inspiring partnership. You know, so many people from around the world write to us and say, you know, well, I want to create this kind of spiritual partnership that Michael and Ricky have. So we're really excited to have this time with you to really talk about that tonight. But we want to start off just by asking how you met and how you recognized each other as your soulmate.
Do you want Ricky's version? Do you want my version? Or do you want the truth?
We want both versions, the long version. Both sides.
You start, baby.
Oh, you want me to start? Oh, Lord.
Okay, I can start.
I can start.
Okay.
Go ahead. That's how you stay together.
I was going to say, this is a secret.
Let the girl go first.
What'd you say? You're right. I'm sorry. I love you.
Yeah, those are the three magic words of staying together. You wake up, you tell your soulmate, you're right, I love you, and I'm sorry. Use any one of those things throughout the course of the day that you think you might need.
Wait, there's a fourth one that we learned when we were in India. The guru said, if you want to keep your marriage together, always say, okay, honey.
Yeah, there it is. You're right, I love you, and I'm sorry, and okay, honey. But never say, while you're up.
Well, anyway, a long time ago, once upon a choice, I received a phone call from a minister that was inviting me to come to sing at his church. I'm just going to get to the chase of it, because there's a real strong subtext of some interesting times with my daughter that had been ill, and her wanting to hear this song only when she was close to comatose. And so my mother said, you should record that song. So I recorded the song, and with the songwriter that I'd written a song with, and this person also, the other songwriter, had invited me to come to Agape. And he says, there's this dynamic minister there, and I just was just adamant about not going. I didn't want to go. I wasn't interested in going. And so he went to see Michael and took the tape anyway. In those days, there were tapes, cassettes, not CDs. And he had a meeting with Michael, and Michael heard the CD and the tape, and now you take it, baby.
He was letting me hear the CD, a tape of Ricky singing the song they had written. And I said, well, the song's okay, but who's singing? And he said, there was a lady by the name of Ricky Byers, but she's not going to come to your church. She's not interested. And I said something to the effect of, let me have her number anyway. I hear something in her voice. I know her destiny. I can feel something. That there was what I call smoke in her voice. It was a healing resonance. When I heard her voice, I felt something and I knew something. And he laughed at me, you know. And I said, give me her number anyway. And he said, it's not going to work, you know. But I got the number from him. And I called her and invited her to come to Agape to sing. And she was, as he described, reluctant and not too interested and very curt on the phone. And
But there was a reason I was curt.
Yeah, you know, that's a whole other conversation. It had nothing to do with me. But ultimately, with the help of my negotiating powerful skills and money.
And my brokenness.
She ended up coming to Agape as a guest speaker, I mean, as a guest singer.
And I happened to show up at Agape on the anniversary of their first year. And so when Michael got to the podium and he said, good morning, something went through my body. And I could tell that this man knew something. I could tell it. It was in his voice. I could hear it. And when he began to speak after I sang and everything, and he started his lesson, his sermon for the day, I just started to cry. Because he was telling me what I had lost faith in. I mean, I knew, you know, and what he was saying was that I was here to be happy, that I was here to be in the joy, I was here to deliver the gifts that I have. And I started crying because I was so disappointed in the world. And I just really had so many dreams that hadn't come true, you know. And so as he spoke, I cried, and when the service was over, I felt like I'd made a lot of new friends, and it just was a great place to be, a lot of love and very diverse congregation, not like, I've never seen a congregation that was that diverse. And he invited me to sing several other times, and then one Sunday I had to come there when I wasn't getting paid, and that was the beginning of an incredible journey.
She was married at the time to someone else. We were both married at the time to other people. So by her coming to church just to come to the community without getting paid was causing a ripple in the relationship she was in, because it wasn't a gig that she was going to. She was actually going for her own benefit.
Yeah. And that was the beginning. Look, you know, I just had to say that day, I got to go to church, you know. And I was kind of afraid to speak up and say that I was going to go. But I was there crying in the bathroom, you know, and trying to find the nerve. And I looked at myself crying in the bathroom. I was like, what are you crying in the bathroom? It's like, get up and say what you want. And, you know, be willing to stand for what it is that you, for what you feel. And I breathed in deeply, and I went and faced, you know, this person that I thought would might be even violent. And he's like, you want to go to church? Go to church, you know. And I just went on to church, and I never stopped going. It was the beginning of a whole nother journey, and that's been incredible. So that's how we met.
Right. And then there were counseling sessions, and she became an avid student. And also somewhere after a period of time, we wrote a first song together. So relationship unfolded from a counseling student, working together, writing, being together. It was a sweet, soulful, wonderful recognition of deep friendship. And I remember something within me, there was something, and still there within me even to this day, there's something that just wanted to take care of her. And I didn't really know what that was, but it was there, and I recognized it. And it has unfolded and bloomed in a very sweet and wonderful, wonderful way. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, we are not, you know, the love is there, and it's full, it's rich. And at the same time, we're such different people than we were. The skeleton is there, and the budding of who we were becoming is there. But subsequently, we have both evolved and grown tremendously. So we're different people than who we met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yet, but the underneath is the same.
But we look better. We've been good for each other.
How long ago was that?
23
years ago.
Yeah, about 23 years ago.
Wow.
And how long have you been married?
We celebrated our 10th anniversary last year.
Mm-hmm. In June? In December. December 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you both share what many people are calling a spiritual partnership, in that you're holding this space for each other's potentials to be realized. You're equals, you're collaborators, you're really partners in so many ways. How did each of you prepare yourself for this kind of relationship?
You know, I think that when you talk about preparing yourself for a relationship, what you're really doing, I think what you're doing is you're preparing yourself for your own growth, your own evolution. You can say, and the basis of this call is about preparing yourself for one's soulmate,
mm-hmm.
but I think what one is really doing is just preparing themselves to embrace the deeper part of themselves and really become committed to that discovery, to uncovering that, and activating that and expressing that. In the course of doing that, in that flow, then there's the possibility for relationship, intimacy, connection, collaboration. I think sometimes people try to go for relationship without really engaging what it means to become their best self,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they run into problems, run into issues there.
You know, that's really true, because when I came to Agape, I had been part of some other that I thought were spiritual groups, but they didn't turn out to really be spiritual groups. They were like more like information groups, because we weren't really dealing with the matters of our soul and how to be better people, you know. And I'd always been interested in knowing how to be a better person. And but the journey toward that teacher was what got me to Agape. It's like when I found my teacher, then I found a real true spiritual practice. I found the reasons for a gift in the first place, not to make money, but to really express and to bring medicine to the village and, you know, healing and joy to the world, as opposed to getting a record deal and making money only, or even, you know, it was very different the way my heart shifted and my thought about my talent shifted and expanded. It's like, whoa, you mean I get to be in devotion to something really powerful? And that began to write because I was willing to let my heart open, you know. As a matter of fact, it broke my heart open. It just broke my heart open, that love of joy and being here for something great and wonderful just broke my heart open. And then I began to write. We began to write. These songs just flowed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that came this beautiful relationship, this beautiful friendship, and a whole nother reason for expression of one's gift for me. And Michael was already doing it as a minister, but I hadn't yet become a minister of music. I sang at piano bars and bar mitzvahs and weddings and receptions and in between being in the studio trying to make that one hit record. And then when I came to Agape, I began to sing to express the feelings of in my heart about my spirit and what I came here to do and to be and to discover, what that journey is. And I don't know, that whole shift was just radical. It made all the difference in the world in my life, and it just got me ready for joy, real joy, and not just what I thought joy looked like. You know, I could feel it in my bones.
Right. So the quest for relationship is not separate from the quest from authenticity,
mm-hmm.
from your real self.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in our society, they put the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
People are looking for romantic love. They're looking for a soulmate, looking for a relationship. And I think what we're talking about here is people really coming to grips with what that really means. You know, when you are looking for a soulmate, you're looking for the next stage of your unfoldment. You're looking for someone in which you're saying, I'm willing to go and discover the best that is within me and to express it, and I'm willing to do that with somebody and to support them to do the same thing, come with me,
mm-hmm.
so that we have the capacity and the willingness to go through changes together, to go to, you know, to go to the end together, whatever that means. And some people, when they think about relationships, they think about, you know, lights and cameras and good times and feel good, but they don't understand what you have to do to get to your authentic nature. I mean, there's debris, there's weeds, there's things that have to be released. Mm-hmm. And if one is willing to really want that, then the relationship slides in on that particular move, on that particular, I won't say goal, but that particular way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all sweeter. It's all sweet. It's sweet because it's in the context. You know, sometimes I'll tell people that, you know, when I'm doing marriages or doing weddings, I'll say, you know, it's one thing to get to the altar to have a wedding. But marriage or a relationship is something totally different. I mean, that's a journey of transformation. And a lot of people have the romantic vision of getting married or finding somebody that's going to love them. But they don't necessarily have the idea that they're on a journey of transformation, of discovery, and of sharing and intimacy and clearing out and becoming more themselves. And when one becomes really connected to that journey, then we don't, you don't put a burden on the relationship to make you happy. You see, the relationship becomes a place where you share your gifts and what you discover through your journeying together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different context.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like you both experienced a deep level of healing by coming together.
I know I did.
Yeah, I would say yes, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we both came out of relationships, and so we had the, we liked each other a lot. We loved each other a lot, so it really provided a really strong context for healing and having fun. You know, we laugh a lot now. You know, it's fun, and at the same time, we're both involved in something that's bigger than us. You know, it's a field that's bigger than her and I together. It's something bigger, and so it's a constant yielding to that. And yeah, healing is definitely the order of the day.
Mm. Yeah, I remember you talked about there were weeds and, you know, different things inside your mind that that you have to clear out and learn to face about yourself. And I learned a lot about myself. And sometimes when you are in other relationships where everything is shutting down and crashing, there's so much hurt there that you take on yourself. I mean, like, we get hurt in relationships really bad, and sometimes. And with Michael, what I found was a loving heart where I could cry, you know, and just let it go, you know. And I think in the early days of our relationship, and we really don't talk about this much, because most of the time I'm not talking. But when we're doing what we do, I'm singing and Michael's talking. But this is something that is really that I remember, and I remember how I used to weep. You know, how he would just hold me and I would just cry.
Yes.
You know, it was almost like there was just so much sadness there and disappointment, and it left. But you know, you have to work through it. You have to let it go.
Yeah, I remember those days. It was just torrential.
Mm-hmm.
And just holding her and embracing her and listening, deep listening. Ricky's stories have changed over the years, but I still listen, you know. And she went through many things of her life. It was just very healing. And then her, how would I say, just her, the way she loved me was just very bright. It's funny, we were laughing about this today because, it was like, it was just very, sparkly. And just the other day, I came in the house and hugged and said, hey, how you doing, Ricky? You know, blah, blah, blah. We say, hi, baby. And I went upstairs, and I came back downstairs, and she said, "Hey, baby, how you doing? What's going on?" She was hugging me. And I said, "Ricky, I just went upstairs." She had forgotten that I just... It's like she had forgotten that we had just talked to each other less than a minute ago.
Well, I was working at the computer when he came in, and I was engaged in this book that I was completing. And so when he came in, he was like, you know, I said, "Hello," and I'm just, you know, just kind of like into what I was doing. And then when he came down again, I was like, "Hey, baby, how you doing?" He was like, "You just saw me." I was like, "I'm happy to see you again."
It was just like, it was less than 5 minutes.
No.
Yes, it was like 5 minutes.
Oh, you
like,
changed clothes.
You keep saying I changed clothes, but I didn't. I went upstairs and came downstairs.
That was funny. I was like, "Oh, man." He's like, he said, "Well, at least you're happy to see me again."
But that's how it always was. You know, it was like, it's just such an intense expression of emotion. Ricky is not a hold back kind of person. So it was just very, very loving, you know, very, this is where I'm at. This is where it is. You know, it's very, very sparkly, very beautiful. And so that reminded me of that just a few days ago when she did that. It was like, "Hey, how you doing?"
And Michael was very nurturing and still is. I mean, you know, I think I told somebody, they said, "When did you find out when did you know it was love?" I was like, "That was when he walked through my door, went through my house when he came in the door with a sandwich." When he came in with food, I was like, "This is okay." And he's still cooking. And I'm in love.
I cooked today.
Well, it's just delicious feeling into the energy between you. And I love how you're describing this relationship as a journey of transformation. And what's so striking about each of you, Michael and Ricky, as individuals, is that you're just such strong expressions, individual expressions, and together you're also an incredible harmonious couple, combination in how your energies move with each other as a couple. And I'm wondering, you know, how do you do that? How do you prepare yourself to create a relationship where you're strong together and you're strong individually as well?
I don't know. I just know for me, you know, when I see Ricky shine and grow and glow and keep unfolding, I feel good about it. I've been a fan. When I used to see her sing, I was a fan, and as she really started engaging her spiritual nature and growing and unfolding spiritually and taking that on and embodying these things and then teaching them, it just made me feel good, you know, as a friend, as a teacher, as a lover, you know. And so I think there's just always a part of me when she is, you know, because Ricky's a risk taker. By means of that, she's always going to go for the next rung on the ladder, whatever that is in her own. You know, whenever she's going for it, I'm supporting it. And when she catches it and she begins to embody another level of herself, it makes me feel good. So there's never any issue with us doing stuff. You know, if she's shining, I'm happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any, there's no internal thing that is saying, "Oh, Ricky's getting too big," or whatever the case may be. I'm like, "Run with it, baby, run with it," you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a dynamic. And I hear people tell us often, either to her or to me, they'll come up to us and they'll say, "Wow, when Ricky was singing or when Ricky was speaking, you were just riveted. You were just so into her. Like you had never heard her sing that song before. You had never heard her say that before." And sometimes they'll say that to Ricky, you mm-hmm. know, when he was speaking, you were sitting there like you've never heard him speak. You've never heard him say that before. And I know you've been with him all around the world, hearing him teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just have that for each other. There's just a connection. And we're both on the edge of what we're doing. So I think we're not boring to each other because, you know, she can sing a song 20 times. I could teach a same principle 20 times. But we're both on the edge of what we're teaching.
Mm.
So it's alive in that moment.
Yeah, and I think the same thing you said earlier, Michael, when you talked about the journey into yourself. And, you know, we never stop doing that work. And I know that I'm still growing and listening to what is the next thing for me to do. And or be,
right?
You know, or be. You know, what is the greater expression of what I came to do? And so, and that's an important thing with couples. I think sometimes people want to go to what is the most important thing for us to do. And but I find with Michael and I, because we're so independent in what we do it together, but we also do it separately. We have a lot of space in our relationship. So the more I am true to what it is that I came to do and be, the stronger we are together. And when I'm capitulating in my own mind, because he doesn't require that, you know, but I think sometimes women have a tendency to do that until they stop doing that. Until they become aware that they're doing it. You know, sometimes we do it and we're not aware that that's what we're doing. But Michael supports my voice, but I had to learn to support my voice.
And that's
you know.
True. I think what you say is so important, in that we both go for it, and she goes for it, and I can remember. I remember at some point in the relationship where she had to go for it. And it was almost like an invisible something that was there from past relationships that maybe I wouldn't have supported or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, no, you have to be yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she used the word space. We gave each other tremendous space, you know, because we're both creative and we're both doing our thing. And we're not afraid, I don't think, to ask for what we need, if we need something from each other. Like, if I know, if I say to Ricky, you know, I really need you to do X, Y, and Z, you know, she will stop and she will 99.9% say, yeah, I'll do it. Or if she really needs me to do something, you know, I'll stop and more than likely I'll do it. You know, we have that in each other.
Mm-hmm.
So while we have plenty of space and we're doing our thing, you know, she's running a ministry, I'm running ministries, you know, we're creative, we're doing what we're doing, and we do it together, there's a lot of space in that, you know. And somebody was talking about our relationship recently, and I was saying, and they were, you know, they were talking about how beautiful it looks. And I said, you know, we have a lot of space with each other. I said, I don't know if everybody could handle what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, what do you mean? I said, I'm getting ready to go into a class right now to teach. I've been gone all day. I said, I'm going to get home. Ricky's not even going to be home. She's going to be in the studio with a bunch of men. You know, she may not get home to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then I'm going to get
But I'm going to come home with a hit.
Yeah. I'm going to get up real early in the morning. I'm going to go to the gym. She's going to do this, you know, and then she's going to do this. She's going to do something with her school. Then I'm going to go out here and teach this class. I said, and then we're going to cut somewhere in a day or so, kind of settle down with each other, you know, and catch up with each other. I said, I don't know if everybody could handle that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, it's just our life,
mm-hmm.
you know. We love, we hug, we
mm-hmm.
smile,
mm-hmm.
we're together. We have intense trips together where we're intensely together every single moment.
And that's fun.
Very fun, you know. And then we'll come back, and there'll be intense days where we're passing each other
mm-hmm.
and sleeping together every night, you know. And somebody may not be able to handle that kind of relationship, because it may not look like a romantic version of us waking up and being together and having breakfast together, you know, going to work, me coming home at 5 o'clock.
We have breakfast together, the green drink.
Yeah, we have the green drink. But you know what I mean. It's our relationship, and it works for us.
Yes.
You know, and I think one of the things I tell people, again, in when I deal with couples, is that you can't allow the society, your parents, the government, or anybody to determine what your relationship looks like. That is between the two couples, between the couple. You, in your visioning, in your pillow talk, in your conversation, you let your relationship unfold. And it can't, because if you compare it to what you think it should look like based on some fantasy, you're going to end up in trouble. But if you let it unfold based on what your souls need and require and what your souls are here to do, it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, can we do an All About Love night sometime, baby?
Absolutely, baby.
Because mm-hmm. I really liked that. I thought that was really great.
That was fun. I was just shocked at how well it's received because, you know, like we do, we went unprepared and we just kind of went off the cuff and did it, and it was very good. And I was just very amazed that everyone really loved it as much as they did.
Yeah, it was very honest.
You know what we wanted to ask you guys is on the rare occasions when there is some disharmony, how do you navigate that? What are your what are the things that you do and say to dispel the tension and get back on track?
I'll say a differing of opinion maybe, you know, but I wouldn't call it disharmony. We do well, Michael and I. We do really well. I don't know. For instance, this All About Love that I'm talking about, that's a workshop that I really loved doing. I mean, it was an evening that I really loved, and everybody loved it when we did it. We did it at Agape, and we talked about the things we're talking about now, only we were on the couch and talking with the audience, and it was the first time we'd done anything like that, a whole evening together, he and I, where I wasn't at the piano, but I was talking with him. And when he didn't want to do it again, I just really kind of thought it was peculiar because so many people wanted to hear it again.
Well, not that I didn't want to do it again. I just didn't. Well, I didn't know you wanted to do it that bad.
Well, yeah, I asked you 10 times. You know, and so instead, what happened was that he did a teaching class with us ministers and people that came from different parts of the country, and he did like a three days of teaching, and he was doing his thing. So, you know, it was like when I saw that was on the calendar, and that's what he elected to do. I'm thinking, in my mind, I was like, well, he'd rather do that rather than do this evening with me.
I'm glad we're having this conversation.
You know, but I wanted to say how I dealt with it. You know, well, I did the evening anyway. We did the evening on a Monday night, but I co-facilitated with another woman, and we talked about being soft and what it means to be soft inside and to return to the kind of women and people that we were before we maybe got hard and from the world, you know, and built this edge and this shell. And then it wasn't just for women. It was for men and women, and it was a great night. We did a great job. So really what I'm saying is that I used my creativity to design something else. And often music is a wonderful facilitator for me if I'm moving through something that may feel like there's some discord or something that's unresolved that I need help with. I'll sit at the piano and, I don't know, the oracle speaks through the music, and I create from it.
Yeah. Let me say something, too. Ricky is bringing up something. I think there's a trust that we have in each other that we're going to work on ourselves and get to where we need to be. When you're asking how do we navigate through certain things, it's like if the impasse comes up, like if I say something to Ricky and she says, no, I don't want to do that, or I'm not in agreement or whatever, And that might be the first reaction, or I may do the same thing. Down the line, one of us may shift, and that shift generally happens because we're both doing our inner work,
mm-hmm.
and we're not embarrassed to come back to say, you know what, I rethought about what you said,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're right, we should do A.
Mm-hmm.
Or she'll say, yeah, you're right, you know, I'm willing to do that, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get stuck on our points.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we may be honest, and in the first reaction may be whatever it is, we're not going to fight that tooth and nail just to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that about Ricky to the hilt. I know that if there's something off and she discovers it, she's going to come back and she's going to say, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
That was off. And I know that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
If she says something and I'm not with it,
mm-hmm.
I know it's going to come up in my meditation. I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, you know what, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there's a trust in that even in one instant, in a snapshot, it may look like we're in disagreement about something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play the whole movie, then you see that, oh, she got it or he got it. Or we both got a piece that we didn't see before, and we come back and we say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people, unless they're doing a certain kind of work on themselves, will get stuck in being right or having their point being right,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we don't really, we don't deal with that. We just want, we want to be in what's right. We don't care about being right.
Oh, I like that. What's right. Right with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you've both worked with thousands of people over the years, and where do you see people who are in the process of attracting a beloved into their lives get stopped?
Say that again.
Where do you see people who are trying to attract love into their lives, where do you see they get stopped? And what advice would you have for them?
Mm. You know, we're in a spiritual community, and we also, you know, we know a lot of people. And so I just noticed that people try to they try to extract their happiness from another person.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates resistance. And then they end up becoming more and more desperate to try to find somebody that's going to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the rhythm of life doesn't work that way. And I think if as individuals, you know, and this is a very complex matter because, of course, we're mm-hmm. dealing in a time in which the woman and the man's roles are shifting, and the whole feminine, masculine energy dynamic is shifting. There's a whole lot happening within the society of America, and then, of course, the global society. But just in a general sense, if people will stop trying to get something from another person and instead open themselves up to being an avenue of sharing and opening themselves up to being themselves
mm-hmm.
and discovering their own authentic nature,
mm-hmm.
then they take the resistance out of relationship, and friendships can emerge, and
mm-hmm.
then after friendship, then something deeper, a deeper level of intimacy can happen. But I think desperation really is toxic
mm-hmm.
to friendship and relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautifully put, baby. I agree. I mean, because I see people a lot. I mean, I think when people come to Agape and they see a relationship that, or two people who are in relationship, like Michael and I, you know, they want that too. You know, it's like, I want that. But the good thing is that they want that kind of a relationship. It's not like, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, if I want quality. I don't want just company or somebody that's just taking my time, but I really want somebody who cares about me. In the way that this being obviously cares about you, not this maybe the same way, but with that same vitality, and so they come and they get into the classes and they learn how to be better people, because that's just what I did. I got into the classes and learned who the real Ricky is, and tracking my authentic self really opened the door to. To becoming the kind of person that would be good with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Because a jealous person wouldn't be good with Michael, you know, or an envious person, you know, in the long run. You know, the kind of person that would be good with Michael is somebody that's got joy and understands who they are. And, but I had to learn how to, I had to learn who I was, and for real, who I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think that people who get stuck, you know, it's all mental. Maybe they need to, they might want to try setting a higher priority and getting in touch with the soul.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, see, I like, you know, just in my raw humanness.
You like a sexy woman that wears Uggs.
Absolutely. but I like the fact that I can get to that place within myself where I need Ricky.
you know, even though I'm very independent and on a meta level, you know, I don't need anything. But on another level, you know, I like needing her. I like those moments where I just say, I need Ricky right now, you know, and she's there for me. And it's a release of any kind of boundaries around myself. And that, you know, that's a sweet thing to be involved in, that kind of sweetness and that kind of love where, you know, you can let the whole world go and all the roles and all of the things that one has to do in a moment of just being a human being and just say, I really need her right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just let that be a sweet healing moment, you know. And I don't know if men would allow that. Certain men would, I'd allow that moment. They'd have to guard that space, you know. And I don't feel I have to guard that space, you know. And I am, as she mentioned, that we're both independent. I'm independent. I am. But there's that moment, and I like that moment.
So what advice would you give people who are wanting to manifest a spiritual partnership, and should they be hanging out with you guys at Agape? You've got a huge community.
They should take our workshop next month on how to manifest your soulmate. No, but I think everything we've been covering here kind of speaks to it. But yeah, you definitely want to be in a field that's higher than what you're vibrating at, which is why spiritual community is so very important, because the world, as it is with the commercialism and the consumerism and the consumption and all of that that goes on in the world that berates us all the time, is a very low attractor field. And so you want to be in a community of friends, a community of a spiritual community in which the vibration is higher than the world. And so you become acclimated to that kind of conversation, that those kind of friends, that kind of energy. And then from there, as you become more and more authentic, then the opportunity for you to be around individuals that you're going to have really soulful friendships with and then ultimate relationships with, it's the opportunity is there. And you become... the law of your life shifts, and you discover that, as Ricky used the word company earlier, you discover that you're not going to waste your time with things that you know are just not going to bring about anything fruitful in your life. I see, when you talk about what blocks people, I see people waste so much time, and they know they're walking down a path, they're hanging out with somebody that they absolutely know this person has no interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
This person is not trying to grow on any level.
Mm-hmm.
But because they don't want to be alone,
mm-hmm.
they'll do it. And at the end of the day, they're upset because the individual disappointed them on
mm-hmm.
some level, and they knew it walking in the door. But if you hang out with individuals that you're about something, and I'm not talking about just romantic relationships, I'm talking about real meaningful friendships where you're having a vision conversation, the attractor field is much higher, then you will not settle for anything less than that when someone says, hey, let's go out to dinner, let's go to the movies, let's go to the beach, let's go whatever. You'll be able to tell energetically whether this individual that you're about to spend some time with, which is valuable, time is valuable, is this really going to be meaningful, or am I just don't want to be alone tonight, you know? And if you can hold fast to hanging out in that higher vibration, your personal law will change, and you'll start to radiate into your life individuals of greater substance that are about what you're about. But you have to make that choice. As the old saying goes, it is better to be alone than to be with bad company, you see? And
mm-hmm.
people have to walk through that particular abyss of willing to be alone, working on themselves so that their personal law can basically dictate what comes into their life.
Mm. I find, thank you for that. That was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Do you find, I'd rather pose the question that when you're engaged with people who are living their life's purpose or are engaged with service, a high service, that they are not as concerned about the soulmate as they are in bringing service to the community, and then becoming what I've observed is that I've seen people become better people in delivering their gifts to the village or to the world. For instance, like the school, the people that work on our team at the school that we have on Saturdays and Thursdays, these people are maturing so beautifully. They're different individuals than they were before we started, and they've become so confident, and their conversations have shifted. They're all the women are more beautiful. They've become more confident, more substantial in so many ways that they are going to make a better partner because of where their attention is. And I think sometimes when we think that the soulmate is out there and not really that person that's inside of us, I just think that it can be deceptive.
Yeah.
And I know people who teach you how to attract that person in your life right here and right now, and I just never did it that way, so that's not the way I know. And I know there are a lot of ways to get to heaven. But I just know the road that I know the road that I took, and the road I took was really going into myself and really getting a clear picture. And it didn't happen suddenly. It happened over a period of time where I began to understand, you know, that there was something greater about me that lived in there that I didn't even know, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. It's a journey.
Well, Michael and Ricky, you're such an inspiration, and just in what you share, there's so much clarity, I think, for our listeners who are seeking to create this kind of spiritual partnership in their life. We could talk to you for hours.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, some way, shape, form, or another, someone is going to tell you that you have to really become, you know, what you want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's circuitous and you do that through pain, or whether that's through insight and you go for it on purpose, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we were shedding some light that if you're inviting yourself to become authentic, live a meaningful life, have high conversations with people that are meaningful, hang in a higher attractor field,
mm-hmm.
find a way to be of service, your personal law is going to shift, and there's going to be greater opportunity for you to be in deep resonance with someone,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a lot sweeter.
Yeah, everybody loves a lover,
yeah.
You know, and when you know how to love, it sends out a message that is really divine, and it somebody hears it, the person that needs to hear it. Isn't that right, Claire? Isn't that right?
Yeah, sure it does. Nothing more delicious and magnetic than coming from that place. Amen.
Absolutely.
So can you guys share about what you're working on, what you're creating with this big love that you share in individually and together?
I'll let Ricky go first because she has a wonderful project that's being birthed, and then I'll speak.
Okay, and I finished it today. There is a book, my first book, that I just completed, and this book is about the way the songs on my new CD came to be, and the name of the new CD is Let My Soul Surrender. Let My Soul Surrender, and just the very magical way that these songs appear, and just the story about that. And it's accompanied with incredible art and photography, so I think that people will find the book interesting, and the music is the best that I've done. So it's my best CD, and I feel really good about this project that will... should be hitting the stands April 1st.
Mm-hmm. And where can people go to find out all about that?
Well, they can go to rickybb.com, agapelive.com. And let's try those two sites first, and probably Amazon.com.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The Spiritual Mall, probably. You know, it'll be a lot of places.
And I would add that for everyone listening, that listening to Ricky's music is certainly going to help you anchor into a vibration of joy and love that will help you on your path to creating big love in your life, too.
Thank you.
It's
right.
Such an extraordinary celebration of life. Can't wait to get that new music from you, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, if people don't have the book Spiritual Liberation, Fulfilling Your Soul's Potential, I'll always invite them to get that as a base foundation piece of work of my teachings. And then, of course, the one of the vision process programs that I have, LVP, Life Visioning Process. I'm in the process of doing two books. One is actually I'm doing a Life Visioning Process book that will be out probably in about 6 months. People kept asking me for the book, so the galleys are finished. We're editing them now, and they'll be finished shortly. That'll be out through Sounds True. And, of course, they'll be able to get that at agapelive.com and all the places where that is concerned. And then the next book is entitled The Law of Emergence, Moving from Attraction to Radiance, and really dealing with underneath the law of attraction, that it's really about an emergent field that ultimately, as we embrace the potentiality of our soul, something emerges from us and we radiate rather than attract. Mm-hmm. It's something I've been teaching a long time, but now I'm just putting it out there more in the book. And then we always invite people to our annual Revelation Conference, which, again, is a strong attractive field. People come in from around the world every April this year in 2011. It's April the 14th to the 17th here in Los Angeles. And we invite people to come in to be a part of that. They can find that at agapelive.com. And then Ricky and I, if they check our website, they'll see what state or what city we're in, because we travel a couple of times almost every month teaching and speaking and singing. And
mm-hmm.
we invite people to come out and tell their friends to come see Michael and Ricky do their thing
mm-hmm.
as we teach about these spiritual principles.
Thank you, Michael. And no, I took your Life Visioning workshop about 7 years ago at Agape, and it totally changed my life. And I think that practice was really at the core of everything extraordinary that has unfolded ever since, including meeting my soulmate, Craig, that it really got me on track to living from my own center and living inside a life that was really connected to my highest purpose, which eventually did lead me to love like you both shared today.
Outstanding.
And, yes.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell people that they can see us live streaming every Sunday and every Wednesday evening. If they go to agapelive.com and they press the live streaming icon on Sunday morning, the second and third services,
mm-hmm.
or Wednesday evening service, they can watch us live on their computer if they're not living in Los Angeles.
And I've done that. I've done it from Venice, Italy, and totally enjoyed it.
Now
I can go anywhere in the world and get a Michael and Ricky thing.
Oh, you have to experience that. If you
it's all over the world now. You know, we have
a big
following in Australia, Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Now China's coming in, and of course the United States. So it's a wonderful thing to watch those dots go up on the wall on the map of the people. These are just the people who are registering. I mean, there are many people who are watching that aren't signing in the chat,
mm-hmm.
but just the people who are registering.
Wow.
It's covering now every state in the United States and about 42 countries.
Wow. And certainly your conference, Revelations, and participating in this global community online is a wonderful way of doing what you're suggesting, which is really grounding in this vibration of beloved community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, thank you both so much for being with us and participating in our summit. We're wondering if you might close us tonight with a prayer.
A song? You want me to sing a song?
A prayer, a love manifestation prayer for all of our listeners.
You play, but you pray, baby, I'll play.
Okay.
Absolutely. We just allow ourselves to feel the joy of the laughter that we just fell into. And we begin this prayer with a great sense of gratitude, thanksgiving, appreciation. Appreciation for life itself. We open ourselves up and we find at least one thing to be grateful for, one thing to be thankful for. And we allow this vibration of thanksgiving and gratitude to spill over our present paradigm, in which we now can begin to recognize that all of the power and all of the presence, all of the love that there is all around us, that the very context by which we live our life is that we're living, moving, and having our beingness in love. We're living, moving, and having our beingness in God. Living, moving, and having our beingness in the intelligence and the beauty that is everywhere. And we begin to notice that this life, it's our life. That our life is an emanation of the only life that there is, and that we are indeed the manifestation of existence itself. And it is from this awareness that I speak the word for everyone who is listening. At the very core of their being, which is love, the very core of their being, which is joy, oh, it finds a resonant field with individuals that can frolic and share and laugh and love together. I call forth now the full and complete manifestation of a love supreme, and that anything that would hinder, block, delay, or obstruct divine and complete full friendship, full soulship, the full intimacy of a sweet and wonderful relationship or at-one-ment, anything that would hinder that in ourselves is dissolved into the nothingness from which it has come never to exist again. And that we stand in this freedom, this liberation. It's happening now. The signal has been released. We're broadcasting. I'm ready. We're broadcasting. I'm available. We're broadcasting. That something wonderful wants to happen. And it's now manifesting with an ease, a grace, and a spiritual dignity. For this and more than words can say, we remain grateful and thankful, and we let it be now and forever. And so it is. Amen.
Guys, that was so awesome.
I got chills. I got hot bumps all over.
Oh, my God. That was so amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
You guys are such an inspiration.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course. For more information about how you can download the audios in this series or order the CD set and companion workbook, please visit soulmateaudios.com. Again, that's soulmateaudios.com. On behalf of Ariel Ford, Claire Zammit, and our event partners, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much love and support on your journey to manifesting your soulmate.